The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina. Christ's blessings to you, and thank you for listening.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Scripture doesn't tell us how many shepherds there were out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. Could have been two, it could have been a half dozen, it could have been 20 or more. We don't know, but that doesn't really matter. What counts is the message of the angel who appeared to them to announce the greatest news of all. The birth of God in human flesh. God come not as judge, but God come as Savior of sinners. So they're out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks, and they're doing what shepherds do in the middle of the night. Maybe dozing, talking, chatting, reading perhaps. We just don't know, although they'd have to have a big fire to read. But suddenly, an angel of the Lord appears to them, a messenger from heaven. And God's glory, present in this heavenly messenger, shone around the shepherds. Poof, it's like an intense heavenly spotlight shining on them. And they're filled with fear. But the angel says to them, "Fear not, for behold," and pay attention to that word behold when it appears in Scripture, because it's like a highlighting of what is about to follow. Arrows pointing attention, those sticky little arrows put on a document that, requires your signature. "Behold, I bring you good news." Gospel means good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For all the people. Kings, emperors, princes, government officials, merchants, even lowly, smelly shepherds, even newborn babes. This good news shall be for all the people, and that means you, and that means me. And here's the message of the angels. And then this is the message that I preach every Sunday, because this is the central message of Scripture. Everything in Scripture prepares for this, points to this, or if it's law, shows our need of this message of good news. "For unto you," and if I had enough fingers here, I could just point them at everybody. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." You know, the New Testament was written in Greek. And there are all kinds of manuscripts of the Gospels in Greek. There are thousands, literally, of the Gospels. And there's been a recently discovered manuscript that tells us what really happened after the angel and the multitude of the heavenly host appeared, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And then the angels disappeared. You want to know what really happened? Okay, here it is. The shepherd said, "Wow, that was cool. Did we really see that? Were we hallucinating? Had we had a little bit too much of Joachim's wine? And we all had delirium tremens? Was that real? Did those angels we imagined seeing really say that they brought good news to us and to all people of great joy because there's a Savior born in Bethlehem who is Christ the Lord? And did they say that the Savior would be wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger? Nah, we must have imagined the whole thing. And so they stayed put. Didn't stir a muscle, went on with their talking, their sleeping, you know, whatever it was they were doing. You don't believe that, do you? Because I just made it up. That is not what happened after this heavenly announcement to the angels, or from the angels to the shepherds. The angels went away from the shepherds into heaven. The light and glory diminishes, and there they are under the stars, and they are awestruck. They are amazed. They are wondering and excited. And they say to one another, "Hey, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." See, there was the message, the proclamation of a Savior who was born, and the shepherds did not have a ho-hum attitude. Ah, we've heard this before. Why bother ourselves with it? No. Let us go. Let us go to Bethlehem. Let us go and see with our own eyes the thing that has happened, which the Lord in His Word has made known to us. Let's act upon it. Let's do something. Let's pay attention to this heavenly messenger who said, "Behold," and let's get to Bethlehem and behold. And so they went with haste, leaving their flocks behind. They went with haste. You can imagine these shepherds hiking up their robes and racing off to Bethlehem and inquiring, going from house to house, looking in all the stables until they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They went. They saw. They came to where God was present in the flesh for them, where this Savior of eternal origin, according to His divine nature, was wrapped up in the flesh and bone and blood of a newborn infant. They didn't wait for Jesus to come to them. The angel said He had already come to them when He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. There in Bethlehem, in the house of bread. That was the angel's proclamation of grace. That was the message to be received by faith. That was the message to be acted upon. And so these shepherds took their bodies and they went to where Christ was present for them. And they saw, they beheld, they feasted their eyes, and they marveled. We have a thing here in our nation, when it comes election time, you can vote by absentee ballot. Yeah, and you know, when I first registered 40 years ago to vote, couldn't do that. But now you can. And a lot of people do vote by absentee ballot, even though they may not be infirm, even though they may not be out of the country away from their precinct. They just vote by absentee ballot to get it over with, to get it out of the way, so they don't have to fight the crowds on election day. Well, that's well and good.
That's great. I've never done it, but, you know, a lot of you have, and perfectly fine. But there is no absentee worship of Christ, and really, you know, you're here today. You are here to listen to the gospel proclamation. You are here to receive Christ's body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. Wonderful thing. Yeah, you're going to see this message, this announcement which the Lord has made known to you, this thing that has happened. But there's no such thing as an absentee faith. You can't go see Jesus in your own heart, because in your own heart is just a twisting knot of serpents of sin, in my heart too. You can't find Jesus there. The shepherds didn't say, well, he's going to be born in Jerusalem when the Messiah comes. Let's go to Jerusalem. Or maybe in Rome, in the emperor's palace. You know, that's where the great and mighty God would appear when he becomes man. They listened to the angel's directions, and they went to Bethlehem, where this Savior was. And so it is with us. We can keep Christmas as a family celebration, and that's well and good. But Christmas literally means Christ's Mass. Mass, the Eucharist, the sacrament of the altar, celebrated on this Nativity of our Lord. And as Christians, we should come to celebrate Christ. I mean, sure, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, Scripture says, but it's our privilege to come. It's our joy to come. It's our honor to come as children of the Most High God through God's redemption and salvation and forgiveness in Christ. The shepherds did not go grudgingly. Oh, do we have to go to Bethlehem? Not again. We do this every 2,000 years when a Savior is born. No, they went with joy, with gladness, with celebration to see and behold. And I can imagine that when they were there, not only did they tell Mary and Joseph what the angel had said to them concerning this child, but they heard Joseph and Mary's story as well. How the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored in God's eyes. You are going to conceive when the Holy Spirit overshadows you, and you are going to give birth to the Son of the Most High God, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And how Mary conceived when she had not known a man. And Joseph probably told the shepherds of his doubts at first, and how the angel of the Lord appeared to him to say, "Fear not, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Take her into your home." And so Joseph did, because this was to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and we shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And you know, guys being guys, maybe Joseph stepped aside and talked to the shepherds and said, "You know, and I did not know her. I did not know her until after she gave birth." So the shepherds left when they saw it, and they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. So you too come today to hear the heavenly proclamation. You too come to behold and worship and receive the gift of heaven in the forgiveness of all of your sins. in this announcement of good news, in the sacrament of the altar, you come to bow before the manger and eat Christ's body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And then you go from this place and you zip up your lips and you keep it all to yourself. What did you do today? I went to hear the wonderful heavenly message of my forgiveness and my salvation in Christ, who was born in the city of David, not just for me, but for you too. I came to hear God's word announcing this Savior's birth to me, and that I am forgiven and granted eternal life in him. I came to receive that miraculous, wonderful, holy sacrament of this Savior's body and blood given and shed for me. You know what? You say that to people, and you say it often enough, and you take joy and delight in it, because this is great good news, the greatest message of all. And those who hear you may wonder at what you tell them. And those who hear you may want to come and behold and end up worshiping as well and receiving the gifts of heaven. We're told Mary treasured up all these things, all these happenings. She pondered them in her heart. She did not dismiss them from her mind. It was a part of her, everything that had happened. What a great privilege to conceive and bear God in the flesh in her womb. And you know what? Some 50 years later, when Luke was writing his gospel, and Luke was carefully examining everything that had been told the people about this message of our salvation, Luke interviewed Mary. She told him. She told him everything that had happened, because she had pondered these things and treasured them in her heart. And so the Holy Christian Church is like the shepherds who returned to their flocks, to their vocation, to their daily calling, their daily tasks and duties, just as you do. But the church glorifies and praises God for all she has heard and seen as it has been told her by God. And you are a member, by God's grace in Christ, of this holy Christian church. And God has given you feet to go, and God has given you hands to do his work and to care for and love your neighbor. And God has opened your mouth and given you lips and tongue to speak the good news to others. The greatest, most wonderful, most stupendous good news of all. And in a world of darkness and light, it is our privilege to hear that good news and to believe it with the faith the Holy Spirit has given us, and to tell that good news to others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen.